I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, and I took a little bit of a break there, went on rerun, trying to reconfigure exactly spiritually how I can help out to the best of my ability with the way that I've been wired. And, you know, I'm going to change course just a little bit here, and I want to talk about something that I never hear anybody even mention. I never hear anybody mention the word. I got my good friend, my good girlfriend, Maria, is with me. Maria, how often do you hear the word miracles today?
Not enough. And honestly, it's been a while since you brought it up to me. So I like the word, and I'm looking forward to the show. And it's been a while.
Yeah, and I'm always glad to have you back, my sister. And listen, you sound so sweet when you're on the air, and you're not really... You know, really.
I am just so nice and kind and sweet. And if you meet me, I'm even nicer in person. And Karen and I have known each other for like over 20 years, and everybody loves me. They like to talk about things like Elf on the Shelf, and it's like, I'm a sweet girl. Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, you've got this little sweetness to your voice when you're on air, which is a great thing, and it's a good balance to me because sometimes maybe I come across too overbearing, so this might work out really well. But listen, you're right. We've been friends a long, long time, and we actually met in the news business. You were an assignment editor when I was doing weather anchoring and a weekday reporter, and we hit it off really well. And, you know, you were, I mean, I'm older than you, and you were a young girl at that time. You were very young, and you hadn't experienced, you've already had plenty of life lessons just from your upbringing, but there were so many things that were going to be in your path, and I'm sure at that point you had no idea what a big role heaven was going to play in your path for the rest of your known life up to today. I mean, I was just thinking about that, about how all the miraculous things that have happened to you in your life since I've known you. And I tell you what, you're a big hitter with that. The kingdom of heaven really looks out for you. You've had some big hits, sister.
I have had some. Thank you, and thank you for saying that. And yes, I am still younger than you. So let's just put that out there. And you know, you talk about miracle. I googled the word, and the definition is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and therefore can be the work of a divine agency. So even in the secular world, they define it as divine. And to say that my life has been manifested by miracle after miracle, and to be honest with you, sometimes you forget because you're just looking for the next one, right? But yes, right. I have been blessed.
Yes, you have. And you know what? A word I see a lot, especially in the New Age religion, it is a religion, is how to manifest. Manifest. You know, they don't use the word miracles per se, not anymore. It's almost like it's one of those words that was more popular back in the 70s with Oral Roberts and all that stuff, you know, Catherine Coleman. And these are all-time televangelists, ladies and gentlemen, that kind of like paved the path and dug the wells for other people to come along who had a spiritual reasoning and they confessed the Christian faith. They were a lot about miracles, but, you know, as the years have gone by, I don't see that word a whole lot, and I want to bring it back to life. I really feel like people need to understand that there is a God, and he's still on the throne, and he still is in charge of the Department of Miracles. Mm. All right. Maria, let's bring it back, and let's start from the beginning. Now, we're going back Well, okay, when did you first get engaged? What year was that? You don't have to tell me your age, but just tell me what year was that. It was like early 2000s, right?
It would have been 2000 and actually would have been 2000. It would have been the year 2000.
Okay.
Might have been 99 or 2000.
Okay, and you were at a prime age. It's not like you got married super early or anything like that. I mean, that was a normal time for the flow in life, according to the physical realm of, you know, you go to college, you get the job, and, you know, then you get married and you have kids. And that typically is the way the world looks at how flow goes. Tell me a little bit about that. And then I was introduced and we became very good friends. And tell me about some of the miracles that have taken place in your life from that point on.
Well, the biggest miracle is what's called a divorce. and I hope our listeners are laughing. You know, that's been a journey since then, quite honestly. When I say journey, I mean the walk was heavy and it was hard. And sometimes, quite honestly, it still is. And I thought that I had a map. I thought that I had an aligned destination and a path that I was ready to take. And little did I know, that path did not go the way that it was. And shortly after I got married, I had two boys, amazing boys. And I got a divorce soon after. I would say 2 weeks after my second son was born. So I had a two-year-old and a two-week-old. And my husband left me. And you talk about a miracle. At the time, I couldn't see it. At the time, I was so sad and devastated, and so much of what I believe my self-worth to manifest or come from was another person. And my sin in all of this was not putting God first. I worshiped the man, the job, the work, the prestige. You know, we worked in TV, so, you know, we wanted Emmys, we wanted glamour, power, but I definitely put my husband before all of that, and that's the big life lesson, is I should have always put God first, always.
Right. I'm going to back you up a minute, because that is your journey in a nutshell. And honestly, when you know, it being in a nutshell told like that, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea. I mean, this woman, she literally was still breastfeeding when her world was falling apart. I was there. I mean, it was, your world really fell apart. I mean, you lost everything. You absolutely lost everything. I mean, I remember a point where you had to move into your mom's basement with two little tiny babies. I remember these things. And
it was
a
small basement with no egress windows, with low ceilings, and it barely fit. If you remember, it barely fit enough for my king-size bed.
It was unhealthy. Listen, it was unhealthy at that time. I want to go back, because you're a young girl and you think that you've got your life in order here. And you discover that your friend here has an ability that I actually, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I have an ability. I don't call myself a psychic, but I do have what is called a prophetic ability, and I see things. And you saw that, and that intrigued you. And you started coming to me with all these questions. So tell everybody what your first question was and what happened.
Well, my first question is, should I get married? If you remember, we were in the newsroom. I don't know if you remember that. And you actually had come over to my desk. You would come to my desk. So I was, I'd help plan the daily stories. And you said, you know, I don't think you should get married. And I really see it going into a divorce. And I thought, yeah, I barely knew you. Maybe I'd known you maybe a year at that time. Well, don't you think that sounds right? Maybe a year.
Well,
and you said,
okay, so wait a minute. The first thing I said to you is what? I said, first of all, if you don't want to know the answer to questions, don't ask them, because I'm going to point blank you. I told you that, right?
You sure
did. I said,
did.
You don't want to know the answer. I said, don't ask me stuff you don't really want to know the answer. Okay, and then, so I looked into the situation with the inability, and I prayed. I approached the throne of God on your behalf, and I said, I got to tell you, I think that you know what? I don't think he's going to be very faithful to you. I mean, you might want to reconsider this union. And, of course, you didn't, because you'd already been in the planning stages. And
I mean,
we
were 6 weeks away from, well, we were six. I distinctly remember I had already had my wedding shower. and we were six weeks away. And so, do you remember the next story? We were sitting at the main news desk, if you remember. And do you remember I got passed up for so the first one was the wedding. I shouldn't have married him, but I got my two boys out of it. And listen, I've learned not to learn and live in regret. So I won't do that. And I've also learned that you can't change the past. So regardless if I was warned or not, I really feel like it was my destiny. It was very strong-willed, still am. And I went through with that marriage. And quite honestly, it taught me quite a bit about what I want, who I am, and what I can be. So I've learned not to live in regret, because if you live in a shoulda, woulda, coulda, it's not healthy and it does nothing for you and you can't change it. Moving on to the second miracle.
Well, before you do, let me clarify too, because biblically it says what was meant for evil, that God means these things for good. So once you have a relationship and you do walk with the Lord, there's never going to be a situation. I mean, you may have to walk with a hitch, and, you know, even I have my own hitches I have to walk with, but everything is meant for the good. And there's, you know, the perfect will of God, and that which is the acceptable will of God. He's always gracious enough to make sure that we're still blessed in regard, and you have been very blessed since then, which, you know, we'll talk about. But go ahead, let's go to the number two thing.
Well, if you remember, there was an opening in the newsroom, and they had created a position for what was called a manager. It was an assignments manager, and I was already doing the work. And so I put in a formal application, and I got passed up. I got passed up by a man. And by the way, in the newsroom, that same man doing my same position, even though he had a couple more years of experience, was paid almost double more than what I was paid, easily. And I cried. I was so devastated that I didn't get that position. I just thought for sure I should have gotten it. I was already doing most of the tasks and the job, and all I was going to apply for, quite honestly, was the pay and the title. And you remember what happened when I came crying? Well, you saw me crying, and you came over, and you said, what was wrong? Pull yourself together. You can't cry in front of the people you work with. Do you remember that? He said, if you're going to cry, take a break and go to your car. Do not let anybody hear you cry.
I did say that.
You did say that.
Yep. I remember telling you, go to your car if you're going to cry. Don't do it here.
Yeah, you said don't. And you said, why are you crying anyway? And I said, I got passed up for the job. And do you remember what you said at that time?
I do, but go ahead.
Well, you said, don't worry. This is a blessing. This is a blessing in disguise. You weren't meant for that job. God's got much bigger things for you. Now, listen, I had gotten a journalism degree. I wanted to work in the newsroom. I had gotten a degree. I also had a degree, two bachelors, one in communication and one in journalism. And I thought for sure this is what I want to do. And you said, don't worry. You said, God has bigger plans for you, where you're going to be doing something much bigger and better. And I see you in and out of your car. And you said, and by the way, I think the money is a lot better. And the hours are a lot better. And, you know, it was encouraging at the time. Little did I know that it would turn into my current career that I work at today, which is real estate. And I am in and out of my car every day.
I remember you popping the trunk. Remember I said, I see you popping the trunk. You're getting a sign out or something. I don't know what it is. And you do that a lot. You do that a lot, and you're kind of dressed up with the blouse and the skirt or whatever, the blouse and the dress pants. I said, listen, whatever it is, it works well with you, and it doesn't feel like anything to do with this business, but I see you doing that, so you don't need to be upset because you got better things coming. Basically, it was to that tune. Would you agree?
Yeah, almost verbatim. You said, I remember you saying you have better things coming, and that was big for me to even hold on to. You know, because it was hope, and hope is the seed of faith.
Yes. Hope is so important, which is why I'm doing this blog. And, you know, you did go on, listen, you're just smoking that business. I mean, out here in Denver, you're just smoking that business. And you have now for many years, and it's worked out very well. You're you're just a natural at it. But, you know, when we say these things, I don't want in any way, shape, or form for people to think that I am wanting to be exonerated or whatever you want to call it, getting any kind of glory, because I want to specify again, as someone of the Christian faith, I know that God gave me an ability, and it helps me get people into the miraculous. It helps people hear from heaven, hear a word from God or whatever, to get into the field of miracles, for lack of a better way to put it. And that's why I do what I do. And I've pondered this. Should I go there with this? You know, is this something that I need to bring out? And I got to tell you, Maria, in this day and age, we need miracles, and we need people who aren't afraid of that word, and we need people that God has given an ability to help harness miracles into the lives of other people. We need them to step forward. They need to come out of the dark and into the light, which is why I took a break from the radio blog, and I'm back in the saddle now, and I really want to hit the miracles thing, because somebody is going to hit the miracles. Go ahead.
Well, let me say this. Even if somebody doesn't have somebody who's prophetic or a guide, let me just tell you that if you believe in it, and that if a door shuts, that it's Romans 8:28, all things work together for the greater good of God for those who love and serve the Lord. There's a version of that. Everything that you do is going to have a higher purpose. Every obstacle, every pain, every failure, everything. And that's hard. Quite honestly, I have to be really honest. You know, I was through COVID, and I got lonely. And I've been through a lot. You know, I spent a weekend in jail when I caught my husband with another woman. But this COVID, I have felt a loneliness I have never felt before in my life. Never. And it's not a depression. It's just a really sadness. So if you are out there, and you are listening to this show, and you have felt loneliness, sadness, maybe even a little seek of a slight of depression, we're here to tell you that there is a miracle around the corner, that miracles do exist, that the actual word miracle in the Hebrew language is a symbol of victory. But you have to believe it. And I get it. I'm exhausted. Listen, I've been single 13 years, friend. You know this. How many times have I called you and said, am I ever going to meet anybody? And I still think that. And I've had to surrender it. Will I meet a man someday? I don't know. Maybe. But I have to have hope that there is a wonderful, godly man out there that will embrace me, my very strong personality, because she was being quite facetious when she said sweet, and my voice.
Listen,
I have a great laugh.
I got to back you up, because you glazed over something, sister, and you brought it up, so I'm going to make sure I bring this to the forefront. This sweet little girl, and she's a little petite thing, trust me. This sweet little girl went to jail because she literally beat the crap out of...
Well, let's not exaggerate. I might have thrown a few punches because I am
all right. Okay, so look,
but I
your
spent
significant
a weekend.
Wait,
I spent
your
a weekend.
Significant other, you busted, okay? You busted him, and... That's what happened for that weekend. Yes, I just want to bring, because you kind of glazed over and people are like, what?
Listen, when you walk in and you just had a baby, and like she said, I had milk coming out of every crevice of my body, and the women know what I'm talking about. The men just go with it, okay? And when you walk in and you see your husband with another woman, you're not like, oh, cool, thanks, isn't that crazy, cool. I actually had a sense of rage. I don't even know what got into me that day, but I was angry, and I was arrested that evening. And that was a Thursday, late Thursday night, so technically Friday, when the state of Colorado, when there's a domestic dispute, automatically you are taken in to custody, and you have to wait 24 hours. Well, Monday was a holiday, it was a federal holiday, so I didn't really get out until Tuesday, if you remember. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a weekend in county jail, right? And this is where people were doing time. This wasn't the city municipality. This was county jail. And I call this weekend my research. It was fabulous for research. And let me tell you, you talk about a miracle. I have never felt so low. And Karen, you know this. I carried shame and guilt and animosity and bitterness and anger and complete embarrassment of that weekend because I was arrested. Do you remember when the current company hired me?
I know, but coming from a martial arts background and a lot of people in martial arts listening, man, I think it's great. I know I shouldn't say that, but we've all felt like that, that have ever been cheated on. I mean, you know, and anyway, point taken, and I understand.
But it didn't play with my, listen, it didn't play with my good girl role. But let me tell you something about that weekend that I haven't really opened up about that much. There was a prostitute in there. She was arrested for prostitute, and she was doing her 100-day sentence in that county jail. And I talked to her, and she says, you know, that she had been molested since she was 5 years old by her mom's boyfriend. There was another lady in there who was arrested for selling methamphetamine. She says, well, her parents were dropouts, and that's how they learned to survive. You know what my miracle was? My miracle was that I was able to be there with them at the same time that weekend to talk to them about God. And Karen, you know firsthand, because you came to visit me there, that I actually led a couple women to Christ that weekend.
I know you did. I know you did. Let's move forward to number three. I want to bring it up. And now you're pregnant with your second child, and you got some bad news from the doctor about that pregnancy, did you not?
Yeah, this is something I don't want to go too far into. It's too painful. But it was about 3-4 months, and my doctor said, you've got a very sick baby, and he's going to be challenged, very challenged, and we recommend a termination. And listen, I'm just – I don't want to go too far into this, but I will tell you – that baby is a miracle. He's now 13 years old. He's a star hockey and golf player. He's beautiful. He's perfect. Mm-hmm. And to say the least, both of my boys are miracles, but the doctors were wrong.
But you were told that they were the doctor was wrong. You got a word from heaven that said, don't worry about a thing. This baby is fine. You got that word in a very miraculous download. You did receive that, and it was comforting to you.
Absolutely.
And that's all we need to say about it. That was a miracle. Mm-hmm. We're talking 1, 2, 3 huge miracle, miraculous manifestations in your life, just from the time that I've known you. And really, it's not that I'm special or you're special. It's just that we understand the concept of faith, believing that everything's going to be okay, even if it doesn't seem like it, trusting that God's got you on this. That's what manifests miracles. That's all it is. It's nothing any more special than that. You don't have to be a nun, a priest, you know, a holy person. You have to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. For us, this is the manifestation of miracles. The power of the cross. You believe in it, and you receive it, and you give your thanks for it, and you go on with your life. That's how you manifest miracles in your life. And, I mean,
Well, let me just interrupt you. There is no way a girl could have went with facing all the charges. And when you say I lost everything, I lost my house. I lost my kids over the weekend. I lost my family. I lost my husband. I lost my self-esteem. I lost my pride. I lost my sense of self-worth. I lived in my mother's basement. I had nothing financially, emotionally, spiritually. The only thing I really had was the faith. There's no way without a miracle that I went from being in that basement to one of the top 1% real estate agents in the Denver metro area. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that proudly, because that was a miracle, and it was by the grace of God that was my journey.
Mm-hmm. So listen,
and
Maria,
it is and was a miracle.
It is. When you look back and you see all the things that God has done for you, how is it that you could move forward and still have your doubts when you wake up in the morning? How does that happen?
Wow. Well, that's a good question. But it's timing. You know, I've always prayed for a good, kind, loving, godly man. And I have been single for 13 years. You've met all my dates, every single one of them. You scared most of them off.
Most of your dates today. Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Tell the truth. But I haven't really dated anybody in 13 years. And so 13 years goes by, and you think, this may never happen. And you think, you know, if everything works for God's good, this might not happen. And it is discouraging because there is a strong desire, and I'm being very vulnerable, but there is a very strong desire in my heart to have that love, that friendship, that companionship, that camaraderie, that partner in life. But 13 years without it, and quite honestly, I've never even really come that close. I mean, wouldn't you agree? You met all the guys I've dated.
Yeah, and so, you know, part of the program that I have now is that I want to do the manifestation of miracles in people's lives and do a little bit of a Q&A. And I formulated that question to you because it's a question that a lot of people have. And, I'll just ask the question for you, and you tell me if I'm correct. The question is simply, what's taking so long that, you know, I've had all these incredible miracles, but the one desire of my heart that I've had for 13 years, I can't seem to get that answer. Would you agree that that's a question or no?
I think that's a great question. And that goes to finding a future spouse, to finding the right job, to having a baby, to having your children. Maybe some of you are suffering with children on addiction. What's taking so long for them to know the Lord? What's taking so long? Why, God, why? Like, why? The question absolutely is a great question. Why is it taking so long?
Okay, and some of this you already know the answer to because we've already had the discussion, but I want to put this out there.
Tell me again, because okay. I don't know the answer.
Okay, I'm absolutely going to dispense the spiritual reasoning and understanding. You have to realize, first of all, that we serve a God that doesn't wear a watch. Time means nothing to him. You're talking about someone that took Moses and, the first 40 years he lived as a prince of Egypt, and the second 40 years he lived watching somebody else's sheep on the backside of the desert. He really went from royalty to a vagabond, and then he saw the burning bush. He got his instructions from God. He spent the last 40 years of his life just following out the orders of God himself on leading the Israelites into freedom and into the promised land. And that story in itself in the Old Testament is a great example of how God sees beyond the surfacing of what you see. So I'm going to point out some things to you. Okay, A, my good friend Maria, and I know she don't mind me telling you this, her childhood was challenging in its own way. There were all kinds of things going on, you know, addiction or whatever. We don't have to get into it, but people can understand. That formulated your foundation, Miss Maria, on how you're going to be in relationships for the rest of your life. That has to be corrected. That has to be corrected on how your foundation to stand on moving forward in relationships. B, you've already had one failed relationship, and listen, man, this wedding was perfect. I mean, in every way, the guy, the groom was perfect. Everything was perfect. The picture, it's just like something out of a freaking catalog. That wedding picture was so perfect. But
It actually made it into a catalog and was one of the most beautiful weddings, and it was in several wedding magazines.
The people weren't perfect. It had an image of perfection.
Right.
Because you made it that way because you're a hard worker. You put that image out there. And the truth is, it didn't have anything that was going to get you through long term. I mean, you look back and you can see these things. What if we got a guy that is so in your face helping you with these situations that he's saying, I don't want you to get married again and have issues because this stuff hasn't been fixed yet. We've got to work on this stuff. We got to go back and figure out what happened here so we don't keep repeating it. I have friends that have been married 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8 times, married and divorced many, many times. And it takes them a lifetime before they figure out what went wrong. And you could be spared right now, spared another heartache that if you didn't walk with God, you would have already been married and divorced by now or in a really unhappy situation with kids. I mean, how do we know?
Wait, are you talking about the guy with the Ferrari? How that could have went south?
It could have went. You could have easily gotten right back on the horse of imagery. with the Ferrari, with the million-dollar properties, with all this, that, and everything else. You could have easily gotten back into that. God is sparing you for more heartache because the work isn't done yet. And you have to realize when that work gets done, everything is going to fall in place the way it's supposed to. But you mean, you look at, you take that example from Moses. He wasn't ready to lead the people out of Egypt being the prince of Egypt. He thought he was, which is what got him in trouble, kind of, but he wasn't ready. He had to spend the next 40 years tending to somebody else's sheep, getting rid of sheep crap, feeding sheep. I mean, seriously, this was something he had to do. And I'm not saying it's going to take that long for you or anybody else, but I want you to get your head in the game and understand that when you've got a timing issue with God, you've got trust issues with God. And that's what you got to let go, because God really has your best interest in mind. Does that make sense?
I don't think I have trust issues with God. No, I don't think that that's true. But I think that there is an image, and I want it on my time. And what you really said is we think we're ready. We trust ourselves. So the trust in what we think we're ready for versus what's going to come and we're really ready for, because going back to the childhood stuff, if you don't resolve that, when you are with someone, those issues will come out and manifest. And listen, I married somebody that was cut from the same cloth. He had the same, you know, his father also, you know, the addiction was similar. So I think we all have stuff we have to deal with. Even if you came from the perfect parents, you know, I have some friends and she said, you know, my parents never fought. I don't understand why me and my husband fight. She was taught that they never fought. No matter how perfect it is, you still got to work through what your programming, your childhood, or your previous, you know, 20 years, 25 years, in my case, more than that, were. And you have to be ready. And we're not ready when we are. We are ready when God says we are.
Bingo. That's what I mean by trust issues. Are you willing to trust God enough to say, I believe in your timing, Heavenly Father, is better than my timing. I believe that journey is better in your hands. And in doing so, you're going to let go of the frustration of the watch, of time. You know, people who come into, you know, they had the mom and dad scenario, and nothing's perfect, but they had a pretty decent foundation. There was no addiction, no mental illness growing up, and, you know, so forth. The thing with these people is that they don't waste a lot of time trying to get that foundation in place. Sure, they're going to have their own challenges in their own marriage, but there's just a different foundation that's put in place. People that come from parents that were alcoholics or drug addicts or had mental illness or, you know, broken homes or whatever you want to call it, it wastes some time because you have to take out broken pieces of foundation, and out of your own hard experience, put in more pieces of foundation to say, well, maybe this will work. Let me try this, because that didn't work. So it's a timing issue. And I think what we're talking about here is time, especially as women, because, you know, we're really, the people put a clock in our face. We're getting older. Well, so now what? What does this mean? Am I going to be less desirable than the 22-year-old? There's all kind of elements that have to do with time. And that's what I'm saying. Can you trust God in spite of that? Go ahead.
Well, what I'm really hearing you saying is surrender it. Really surrender it. You know, like that job I was passed up for, surrender it, because something better definitely came along. So surrendering it. And you do have a little bit. As women, we have pressure, and men too. Men have different pressure, I feel like, but as women, we definitely have pressure, the way we look, the way we feel. And I feel like, you know, I've spent most of my 30s and most of my 40s single. And, you know, I see my girlfriends and they're taking vacations and they're raising their kids together and they're doing all these things, and it's discouraging. And yes, I have had wonderful miracles and I live a very blessed life, and I don't not trust God, but I want it on my timing. I feel like I'm ready, but you know what? Obviously, even in this conversation, maybe I'm not. And maybe there's more to it. Maybe he's not ready. Maybe my kids wouldn't be ready. Maybe the timing wouldn't be ready. Either way, we have to surrender it. So anybody out there listening, to something that they wanted so bad, whether it be a spouse, whatever it is, because we all yearn for something. It's human nature to say what's next. And recently I had a conversation with my friend Karen, and she said, you know, instead of worrying about what, you know, when you meet somebody, why don't you really focus on what you can do to really serve? Serve everybody around you. And mm-hmm. so I'm trying to be more conscious of serving in many different ways. And what happens is that takes all the attention off of me. But I have to tell you, the COVID thing, and I know, and you know, I mean, I have the same girlfriends I've had from when I was in high school. I have four siblings. I have a great family. I have tons of clients, friends. I have a wonderful office. But if I got lonely in this COVID moment, I know a lot of other people are very lonely. And it's not, you could be having a husband and still laying next to him and still feel lonely. There's a difference between being alone and feeling lonely. So I just want really to use this show for anybody out there feeling a little bit of that. It's okay. This too shall pass. Maybe it'll take 13 years, but you know what? I've also had a wonderful 13 years. In that 13 years, let me tell you the wonderful thing about it. I've been able to be at every one of my children's games. I've been able to really build a career that is very lucrative and I'm so blessed with. I've been able to serve on different boards. I've been able to travel. I just this year, I've taken 8 trips. I mean, even though it's been COVID, we took 4 trips before March. So
you are blessed. You're very blessed. But listen, I want to get back to a point, and then I'm going to have to kind of conclude this. But I want specifically for people right now who are people of faith, who do understand the principles of Jesus Christ, and are getting frustrated because maybe they are really looking at themselves and are not happy with where they are, whether it's relationships, money, or even health situations. Look back at the miracles that have already manifested in your life. And you can't forget those things, because when you see what God has already done for you, then there's no way he's going to just drop you now with what it is that you want. And you talked a little bit about serving, because we had that conversation. And I always say it starts with the white belts, because we're in martial arts, is about what can God do for me? When you start to get a little bit of rank, you start to realize that what can I do for God is really what the question is. And the Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God and you try to do the right thing, all these things, the things you need, the things you want, are going to be added to you. You're going to get them. And I know if you're a person of faith, you've already seen it happen. You need to move forward and keep believing that that's not going to stop anytime soon in your lifetime. My good friend Maria, I really appreciate you being here today. And your story, I wanted to kick off with you because your story has not just one miracle in it. You have lived a course of miracles in your life. And you are indeed very blessed. And you've got good things still coming for you, you know, because you know the rules. You know how what works, and you know how to make things happen, as far as spiritually speaking. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, let me just, before we close off, you use the word manifesting and miracles. So why don't I be the guinea pig? Tell me what to do to manifest that miracle. That's what people are thinking right now.
You just got to keep going. You really have to keep going. You have to believe that everything's going to be okay, even if it doesn't feel like it or you don't think it will be, because that is faith in action. And you just need to keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know you serve a living God and you don't have trust issues with God, there's no reason why you can't keep going. When you look at that and you when you confess that, then move forward to the next step and see how God has wired you to make a difference in the world and stop suffering around you. That's what starts that manifestation of miracles working. I mean, you can always do a 911 call out to God. And a lot of people do, and it's okay because he's a loving God. He's there for you always. But you know what? Instead of constantly making 911 calls, get into the flow of actually having a journey with the Lord that makes this work for you so that you understand how this works and you have the knowledge of how it works. And just keep going. Keep doing the right thing. That's all there is to it.
That answer I loved. I loved, I loved, I loved. So great. Keep going. Move forward. Have faith. Look back and be grateful for the previous miracles. You will be ready when God says you're ready and deal with stuff in your childhood because we all have stuff. And let me tell you, if you think you don't have stuff, you're in denial. You have more stuff if you think you have none. It's true.
See, that's
there's
like,
that sweet girl. That's your sweet girl coming out.
I was just talking about that, you know. I have a friend who went through just a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm not making fun of it. PTSD, all kind of stuff. And my particular friend, I was counseling him. He had this tattoo from his shoulder down to his wrist, and it just said unbroken. You know, and I thought it was a really cool tattoo. He had it on his arm. It said unbroken. But then I said to myself, why is it that it's always the broken people that have the unbroken tattoo? You know, it's true. There's stuff there. And that's good that you have the reminder that you're unbroken. But that to me, that's always a sign that something's broken. They got to always, you know, put that kind of tattoo on. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the Bible says in this world you will have tribulation. Jesus Christ said in this world you're going to have problems, tribulation. But he also said you need to take hope because I've already overcome all of it. I overcome the world. I overcome all the tribulation. It's simply a matter of what you believe and what you have your trust in. Listen, I enjoyed this.
Amen.
This is a good blog.
Me too. This is a good one, yeah. What you believe, have faith. And thank you for reminding me because, quite honestly, I needed it.
You're most certainly welcome because you went on here, Vivi, you have free time, and you don't have a lot of free time. I'd like for you to go ahead and give yourself a little plug if you're in the Denver area or wherever. And, you know, if you want to, regarding your business, please feel free to do that, you know, if you want people to be able to contact you business-wise. Do you?
That would be great. Yes, I sell real estate in the Denver area. My name is Maria Vitale, and I also do a lot of public speaking as well. And I talk about, you know, moving forward, being adaptable, being an advocate for yourself, and being accountable. And it's something I deal with every day and have to move forward, and I have to work on it every day. And wherever you are, driving in the car, listening, cleaning your room, listening to this, just sitting in front of your desk, I hope that you too have faith and can move forward with knowing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he came that we can have life and live it abundantly. Look it up, John 10:10. Thank you for having me.
Good final words. Absolutely. Okay. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.